However, Matthew chapter 5, last time we stopped at verse number 8. Questions at bftbc.org or 856-261-9018. Give us a call, give us a comment, any question you might have, I'd like to hear from you. Let's begin reading then from verses 9, 10, and 11. Matthew 5, 9, 10, 11. Starting at verse number 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for they are the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. As we said, this is the Lord Jesus with his disciples up on the mount, and he's talking to his disciples, and these are things that are particularly for the millennial reign of Christ as principles, but we can use the principles and apply them for today, so far as we can. And what does the word blessed mean? You know, Hannah, we got something. Go ahead, Hannah.
I have a request here. Please keep Rick in prayer, as his migraines have been very bad, as he has them every day. He has been getting a lot of them in the night as he sleeps. I'm concerned for him. In Christ, Wendy.
Let's wave to Wendy. Rick from Wisconsin. Rick Kosev. We have to remember him. Maybe our closing prayer to remember him before we have our final song. And Anna's got that number and everything else has to go. All right.
Mikros. The word is Mikros. It means...
Makarios. Makarios.
Makarios.
What does it mean?
Happy.
Happy. That's right. Happy. But yeah, happy.
Blessed is fine. But
blessed and happy. That's what it means. All right, Anna.
Hello to everyone there and to those listening on the internet. I'm glad to be able to join you for the good songs, prayer, and Bible study. In Christ, Julie.
Julie Monahan, that's way to it. Julie, thank you very much. She's going to proofread Mrs. Wake's Bible for the update. Maybe after the class, Julie, you and I can get together. And she's got a few things. And we proofread it first of all today. And I did a little proofreading. My wife did a proofreading. So we've got four proofreaders. So let's hope it'll work out well. Yes, Dan.
It's interesting that when it's in the nominative case, it's blessed. When it's in the objective case, it's blessed.
Blessed. That's interesting. So, Macarius, blessed, happy. Now, five peacemakers. What is a peacemaker? What's the opposite of peace?
War.
Spiritually speaking, today, for Christians, how can you get peace? Does everybody in this world have peace?
No.
There's inner peace and there's outer peace, isn't it? Peace like peace against war with nations. What does inner peace mean? What is God's peace? How do you get God's peace?
Romans 5:1.
What's that? Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so peace. Did the Lord Jesus say he's going to bring peace to this world for those here? Remember, he said he's going to bring a sword. He's going to set mother and father against each other and children and so on. And so that's what's happened. But peacemakers, those that make for peace.
So he said, peace I
leave with you. My peace I give you. Not as the world giveth, if I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So he can give us his peace. Yes,
yeah, I think of the Middle East, Jerusalem, or Israel, rather.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing they're looking for is peace.
Yes.
And some of the peacemakers, I wonder whether they are children of God.
Yes.
Jimmy Carter.
Yeah.
Who else was it involved in trying to make these peace treaties with the Palestinians?
Do the Palestinians really want peace?
No, they want
what do they want?
Land.
They want
the land?
They don't want a peace, they want the whole thing.
They want the whole thing out of peace. They want Israel into the waters, into the Mediterranean, and be all killed and slaughtered. Well, now, in the future, is the Lord Jesus Christ going to bring peace to this wicked world?
Yes, he is.
Right? During what time?
The
millennial reign of Christ. What are his titles?
Prince of Peace.
Prince of Peace.
And remember Isaiah 9, 6, and 7. Remember the government shall be upon his shoulders. See, and he shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Prince of Peace, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Every government of power shall be no end. Establish it.
Oh, okay.
What's that? What happened?
Yeah, I get it.
Okay. Yeah.
No, it's me.
Also, along that line, we are told to pray for the peace of Jerusalem.
Yeah.
And in essence, that means pray for our Lord's second coming, because there will be no peace in Jerusalem until he comes.
Absolutely. There's war, rumors of war, but then it's not. So, both the peacemakers, they should be called children of God. Is it easy to make peace with people when they're at war in this country or any place?
Yes.
No.
It's more difficult. When people are against each other, it's very difficult. You come in there, and if you get started with their argumentation, they may drag you into it. Start beating up on you. Start fighting one with another. I mean, this is a serious situation. But then we call the children of God. Then verse number 10 is another illustration. What does persecuted mean? Blessed are they were persecuted. Questions of BFTBC at over 856-261-9018. What does persecuted mean?
Pressed down.
Pressed down, all right. For what purpose is the blessing and happiness here in verse number 10?
Righteousness.
For righteousness' sake. What would that mean? Was anybody persecuted for righteousness? Or was the Lord Jesus persecuted for righteousness' sake?
Yes.
How and by whom and why?
The Pharisees.
The Pharisees were the ones?
Because he told
right?
the truth.
He told the truth, that's why. And that was a persecution for righteousness. Now, what if you're persecuted for being unrighteous? Is that you're going to get a blessing out of that?
No.
No, it's just blessed, persecuted for righteousness' sake. Peter has something to say about that, did he not, in 1 Peter? If you're persecuted for righteousness' sake, happy are you. But he didn't want to be persecuted for something wrong that you do. But for righteousness, because you belong to Christ, happy are you. So we've got to be sure that it's for righteousness' sake and not because we're some cussed. Was Paul ever persecuted?
Yes.
Was it for his own wickedness? Mm-hmm. Was it for his own wickedness he was persecuted?
No, because at the time when he had his head shaved.
Well, yeah, he did a little good head shaved. But he was persecuted for what?
Righteous
because he's preaching the gospel.
See, I was thinking the last part of that verse, theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And in Revelation 20, verse 4, and I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded. That's where I'm thinking of the persecution.
Mm-hmm.
The souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark on the foreheads, and in this. But they were, saw thrones, and they were the ones that were ruling in the kingdom of heaven.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. In the persecution status, what about the 12 apostles? Were they ever persecuted for practicing? What does tradition tell us about?
They were all martyred.
All were martyred, except John. Of course, Judas hanged himself with suicide, but all the others were martyred and killed in different ways, very bad, persecuted for righteousness' sake. And today, are those that are saved and born again and preaching the words of God more persecuted or less persecuted than those that do not preach the words of God but are modernist liberals apostates? Which are persecuted more in this world?
The ones that tell the truth.
Those ones that tell the truth. Those that are liberals, modernists, and heretics. They have the atheists many times, and the Muslims and all those heretics, and many of them are just they rule the roost. They rule the roost. Everybody's happy. Everybody thinks they agree. But then, in verse number 11, we see another dimension here where Jesus is talking to. That's to revile you. What does revile mean? Revile.
Mean.
It means to you. Does it?
Speak evil.
Speak evil of you. All right. To stomp on you. In other words, spiritually speaking. And what else? Stop the value, and what else? There's a second thing, and a third thing, and a persecute you again. Alright, so the vile person, yes.
It says verbally abuse.
Verbally abuse, revile. That's good for them. Verbally abuse, revile you. And in other words, they call you a short fortune name, and then persecute you. Different ways of persecution, and knocking you around, and saying you don't mean too much to them and so on. What's the last part of this way they treat those, some of them is verse 11?
They evil against you falsely.
All manner of evil against you falsely.
False accusation.
Evil against you falsely. Now, if you say something against you truly, that's not spoken up here. It's spoken falsely. To say you're a murderer and you're not, that's false. To say you're a thief and you're not, that's false. To say you're an adulterer and you're not, that's false. See, all these different things. But falsely. And then what's the purpose and the reason that's listed here? Examine.
For Christ's sake.
For Christ's sake. For my sake. And so, are there other ways and other purposes or reasons for persecuting Christians?
Well,
rather than for Christ's sake. Are there other reasons? Yes.
Well, the Lord says that because they hated Christ, they're going to hate us.
Yes. The children is not above his master.
Right.
Love the Lord. If they persecuted me, they'll persecute you.
That's right.
But sometimes they persecute you not for Christ's sake, but for some other reason. Suppose they don't like the way you park your car, for instance. They persecute you. But this is restricted for his sake. And it's false. Say even falsely. Yes, fine.
Well, sometimes we bring persecution on ourselves, not so much for our testimony, but we act a certain way.
Yes.
We react to people a certain way.
Uh-huh.
Yes, we act obstinately, and that's not
a good one. We're persecuted, it's a good one. Like, you know, when we're with other people, mm-hmm. they get mad at us because we get angry with them, not for Christ's sake, but just mm-hmm. personal things.
Personal things, that's right.
Mm-hmm. Then we have to bear the rebuke for the final fall.
That's right. I'm looking at 1 Peter and trying to find this, what he says about this whole thing.
Chapter 4.
What is it?
Chapter 4.
Chapter 4, is it? Okay. Read that.
Can I say something?
Yes, go ahead. After that.
Huh? Would you mean also, Mrs. Waite, that are you talking about, like, if somebody should say something against you, they might just be persecuting you because they don't like you.
Right.
You're saying that sometimes we bring it on ourselves by saying or doing something they don't like, so wouldn't we have to really go to God and ask, have I done anything wrong here? Because sometimes people will put things on us that aren't really, they're false. In other words, it's a false sense.
False accusation.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
When you're working, you have to endure certain things in order to keep the job. You know, like in marriage, you have to endure certain things and keep your marriage.
You have to endure a lot of things. Tammy,
that's not persecution.
No, that's right. It's for Christ's sake. It's a little different.
I don't know what
Tammy's got. 1 Peter chapter 4. She's got to read verse
12 through 14.
Listen to what Peter says.
Not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified.
And even verse 15, but let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's affairs, yet let him suffer as a Christian. Let him not be ashamed, let him glorify God on this behalf. All right, so these are good things. Peter has some words on that too. So, sacrifice and falsehood for my name's sake. Thus are ye who are persecuted and reviled and speak against you. All right, we've had 9, 10, 11. Let's read 12, 13, and 14 together. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is the reward in heaven, for so persecuted are they the prophets which were before you. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt hath lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is therefore good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. On verse 12, rejoice. What does exceeding mean? Questions at bftbc.org or 856-261.
Greatly
means greatly, and very greatly, doesn't it? Great, exceeding glad. But this is something in excess of real normal gladness. It's hyper gladness, tremendous gladness. For great is your reward in heaven. What is your reward?
Something like a prize?
Recognition?
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a crown. It's going to be a crown, one of the crowns.
Yeah.
Five crowns, imagine, in heaven. Mm-hmm. So they persecuted the prophets which were before you. What type of prophets were persecuted? Can you name a few or one or two that were persecuted?
Jeremiah.
What happened to Jeremiah?
Put him in a pit.
Why was he put in a pit?
He was giving them the word of God. The word of God was telling them they had sinned against God, and they didn't like to hear that they were sinners.
While he was in the pit, was he pitiful?
He was what?
Was he pitiful while he was in the pit?
Yeah.
It was muddy and awful.
Huh? But was he sad? He was stuck in the mire, but he was sad.
He was
exceeding glad. Did the Lord bring him out of the pit?
You think he was glad down there?
Well, he rejoiced before the Lord. Well, Jeremiah 15:16, my words were found,
and I did eat.
I did eat them. Thy word
came unto me, the joy and rejoicing of my heart,
for I'm called by thy name, the Lord of hosts. So see, he was saying,
I'm sure of that,
but the point of it is, I'm sure that he didn't, did he stop preaching the word of God?
But no,
he didn't. No, it's in the prayer now.
No.
Hannah.
Well, aren't we mixing up two passages where he was in the pit and then the other passage, they might not be related.
They may not be related, that's right. But at least he had, was he in the pit before chapter 15 or after?
We don't remember.
From the book of the pit chapter.
I think it's after.
But you see, remember, he said they tried to shut him up.
It was terrible.
They tried to shut him up. Remember, they said, don't anymore speak in his name, in the Lord's name. And they said, the word was in me, the burning fire. I could not stay. I could not stop. I could not. Anymore, I can stop preaching the word. I mean, the Lord builds up a fire within you, and Jeremiah had the fire. Yes, that fire in his bosom and that preaching was led into the pit. But he got out of that pit, he never stopped. Did Paul stop preaching because he was in prison? Paul didn't stop, did he? Thank God, that's something to
do. No.
All I have to read, was he rejoicing after the pit or while in the pit?
Well, the thing is, as El Paso way is saying, like, no matter where we are, what circumstances we're in, we're to be exceedingly joyful in the Lord Jesus Christ, but we have the words of God.
I agree with that.
Was he
in the pit? Was he rejoicing while in the pit?
No.
We'll have to
look at that. Well, where is the pit? Look at Jeremiah. Rob, get yourself maybe Julie, look at up where he was in the thrown into the pit of Jeremiah, and then we can bring it. We don't have a concourse of the book.
He also got drugged to Egypt.
He what?
He also got drunk in Egypt.
That's dragged into Egypt. Absolutely, he did.
Right.
Okay, Yvonne?
The black man, I forget his name, began with the E, he pulled him out of the pit. He would have been killed, Jeremiah, this man, from Africa.
His name was
Ilomokaki.
Well, I think that's not speaking in tongues, but it's not like. I forget his name. Dan, you remember his name? It's not Ebenezer, it's.
No.
Eben Melech. Eben Melech. You know what Eben Melech means in Hebrew? Hebrew is what?
The last part is.
Yes, Melech is king, but Eben is a servant. Servant of the king. Eben Melech. Eben Melech. Okay. So the servant of the king, pull him out. So when we hear from Julie or from Rob, with their concordance, when he was sunk deep in the pit, then we'll find out whether the rejection was before, after, or during. All right, let's move on to Dick.
Another place where people were rejoicing in Acts, the disciples, Acts 5.
Yes.
And they departed from the presence. This is after they had been facing the council, beaten, and all that. And it says they were rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name.
Amen. Beaten every day. Time has got the answer.
And then falling back.
Oh, excuse me.
Daily in the temple, I didn't stop them. And daily in the temple and in every house, they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ.
That's right, amen. Tammy, you got it?
I think I said
it. Okay, Julie and Ralph.
Jeremiah 38.
Tammy's got it. Jeremiah 38.
Then they took Jeremiah and cast him into the dungeon of Malchiah, the son of Hamelech, that was in the court of the prison, and they let down Jeremiah with cords. In the dungeon there was no water but mire, so Jeremiah hung in the mire.
Mm-hmm.
And then it says in the next verse, now when
Ebed-Melech,
the Ethiopian, one of the eunuchs, was put in the king's house, heard that they had put Jeremiah in the dungeon. The king, then sitting in the gate of Benjamin, Ebed-Melech went forth out of the king's house and spake unto the king, saying, My lord the king, these men have done evil in all that they have done to Jeremiah the prophet, whom they have cast into the dungeon, and he is to die for hunger in the place where he is, for there is no more bread in the city. And he goes on, and I don't want to read it forever.
No, that's good. And then in verse 15 of chapter 38, the king, Zedekiah, asked Jeremiah, what's going to happen? And Jeremiah said, are you going to put me to death? I tell you the truth, no. They told him the truth, kept preaching, kept telling the word of God, and that he would do it. So that's the pit story. We're all right. Was he to be pitied? No. He suffered for the righteousness' sake because of the Lord himself. And that's what, if we suffer, we should be praising the Lord regardless. You know, they tried to shut our church down in Collinswood, New Jersey, you remember. That old wicked woman, I just saw that, as far as I'm concerned, she's a wicked woman. She was head of the, what do you call this place?
Zoning
department. And when we were trying to, see, that church across the way was trying to get a school. And the town, according to the law, notified all the people all around that school, see, and asked us to come to the meeting, should we have a school? Well, it's all right to have a school, but make sure it's according to the rules and regulations of the law of the city and also of the state. And so we spoke up there, son. And as a result, that zoning officer got so mad at me, they saw that I'm a car, they talked about a church. You got a church? You can't have a church, he said. You know, she ran to tear down this false church. That didn't stop us. I changed the sign. She didn't like the church. It's Bible for today. And we kept preaching, you have to have church and let them come. See, you can't stop because of the man I told you before this, made that, but I went in to pay my tax one time and I saw the town lawyer. And I asked him a question and he said, how's your church going? And he's the town lawyer. He's the one that press us and kick us out. I said, everything's going fine. As soon as I saw the town lawyer was all right, the church came right back on. Bible Fair Baptist Church. All of our signs went right back with the church. They tried and they failed, but we kept going. We were going to keep going without. Step on.
The first zoning man said you could do it. The first.
Yes, the very first zoning man. He was a dear man.
Fine.
Says no problem. Said my son's got a Bible study in his home and everything's fine. No problem. But this woman came, took his place, and she was back. She was not going to shut us down. But she was going to put some pressure. She certainly did talk. I said the Bible says the church in the house. I don't care what the Bible says, she said. She just glared at me. She's ready to. So, anyway. But he was there. He was there. He was something. But blessed the day that preaching truth, as it says here in Seeing God, and we're on verse number 11. All manner of evil falsely for my sake. And Joseph said, so great is the reward in heaven, in which the prophets which reported. What prophet? We mentioned Jeremiah. What else? What are the prophets? Did Jonah have any problem? Did Jonah?
Jonah.
Did Daniel have a problem?
Jonah was his own fault.
Yes, that's true. Right. But was he persecuted in a sense when he prophesied to the Nineveh king?
He was a crybaby.
What did he want to do after he prophesied and then the Lord didn't fulfill his prophecy? What did he want to do?
I'm dead.
Terrible. But he was a defeated prophet. What about Daniel?
Was he persecuted?
Yes, he was. About Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they weren't the prophets, but they certainly were Old Testament men of God.
They stood strong.
So that's our little song tonight. We sang it. Dare to be a Daniel. Dare to stand alone. Dare to have a purpose strong. Dare to make it known.
Purpose firm.
Pardon me?
Purpose firm.
Purpose what?
Right.
Firm. Okay, say it's hard. Pardon my sinning. All right. Let's go there. So for blessed, reviling, and persecuted as the prophets which are before you. The Lord Jesus referring to the prophets before you. What did he say about the prophets as far as the Israelites that slew the prophets? What did he say? You remember? Your fathers slew the prophets and you are glad for these servants. In other words, you're related to them and you're all right. You're the children of the people that slew the prophets. He said something like that in the book of Matthew and Mark and Luke. So, yes, Dick.
I'm going back to the last verse.
Okay.
Stephen, in his great message, ended it up. He said, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears. Ye do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed that before the coming of the Just One, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers.
That's right.
He refers back to the people who are always persecuting the prophets.
And I think about these things, what they said, the children of the prophets, you're the children of them, and you, sir, you agree with what your fathers did. You may not have slain the prophets, but you say everything you did was right, and they were putting yourself in that position. All right, we have the prophets before you, and so yeah, now we have people after the Lord Jesus Christ, and we should stand up for the Lord as well. We read 9 through 11, and 12, 13, and 14. Let's go to 14. Oh, we have 13 now.
Yeah.
Salt of the earth. What does salt do? What is salt for?
Does a lot of things. Preserves.
No? Preserves.
It preserves.
It flavors.
It kills.
All right. What does it mean to have someone speak that is too salty?
They swear.
Like a Navy person, and I'm a Navy chaplain, 5 years, and I know exactly. Salty.
Vicious,
wicked, dirty, filthy words. But this case of salt, it's good for health, it's good for, you know, if you don't eat too much of it, you can retain water. But you're the salt of the earth, preservatives. If the salt off is saved, what does that mean?
No good.
Okay.
Flavor.
If the salt has lost its savor, what's savor mean?
Flavor. It's work.
It's flavor, it's work of what it's supposed to do, if it's purposeful. Yes, you put salt to melt the snow a lot of times, yeah, huh?
I'm thinking about when I lived in Ohio in the country, Mississippi town.
Country girl?
I was a city girl in the country town.
Okay.
And I became a country girl, and then I went to the city, and then I was a country girl in the suburb. You never can be ahead of what you're... Anyhow, those cows had big salt things.
Salt lakes.
Salt lakes. Yeah. And that was very interesting.
That's right. Those cows had to have that salt as part of their diet, wasn't it? And so, yes, then?
There's a verse in, I think, Peter. No, it may not be Peter. It might be... Anyway, let your speech always be with
grace.
Salt. He doesn't say, let your speech always be with salt. He's with grace.
No.
Unfortunately, sometimes that's what...
That comes out of our mouth sometimes as a salt. It's a grace first. But now, if the words are not seasoned with salt, what might come out of your mouth if it's just only grace?
Syrupy,
lovely, wonderful salt, but there's no... See, if a sentence does not have a period or comma or some other word of punctuation in it, you don't know really what is a question or a statement or an exclamation point or whatever. So anyway, but the salt, to preserve, and, but the salt lost its savor. In other words, its saltness, its ability to perform what it's supposed to perform. Where would it be salted? What's a good point in verse 13?
Some people never do anything but be all sweet all the time.
Well, that's true.
And they need a little spice in there.
A little bit of spice. And?
Maybe they're trying to make up for people that are salty.
Well, that's true. That's true. They're trying to make up for that.
Isn't it better to be sweet than sour?
Oh, yeah. It's better to be sweet than sour.
I
but now, see,
I know. I'm just saying.
What is the modernist, the hypocrite, the liberal, unbelieving preacher say about God?
I don't understand.
Does he have any salt at all in him?
Love.
He's only love. He's
sickening sweet.
Sickening sweet. No grace. No righteousness, no justice, just love. See, but he doesn't have an attribute. So we got to have a balance, as Tammy said, grace seasoned for salt. So if the salt is lost, sir, what good is for? Good for nothing. Cast out, trodden underfoot of men. So we've got to live that our lives will be worthy of what we're supposed to live for, like the salt's supposed to be, do what it's supposed to do, what it's not doing what it's supposed to do, good for nothing. And if our lives I have been what they're supposed to. If we're saved and born again, shining before the Lord and just preaching Christ, then our lives are worthless too. Just trodden underfoot, who cares? All right, well, let's stop right here at this first, but do you have any other comments or questions? Anna?
So, we have to remember Mr. Kosick's migraines.
Thank you. And we've got a show of battle hand,
right? Yes, 138.
Number 138. All right, Dick, number 138. Thank you. And Mr. Kosick, you'll have a final prayer. Let's pray before we sing. How far do we ask it for Brother Kosick? And Rick has had these migraines day after day after day. We don't know the cause. We ask the Lord to guide and direct and give wisdom and guidance to the doctors, to the nurses, whatever it may be, the diet, his, whatever activity. And may he be free of this terrible, terrible thing that's upon him. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. 138, is it?
Yes.
138. And the request was made by Linda. Linda Kosick. Okay, Linda Kosick. 138. God said to me, I said the word together. He brought me up off out of a horrible pit and set my feet on the rock. Psalm 40, verse 138. Study thy words, which are a comfort unto us who are saved and born again. Those that are listening, may our prayers be answered for them, continue to guide them, direct them, and for us who are here in our churches this evening. May our Savior be glorified in our midst and among us. And may a service on the Lord today be a great victory for thee. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you for coming.